Running has given me a lot. Not only running itself, but just the ability to move forward. And I always try and replicate that energy back to others, because the way I was treated really changed my life and really showed me the true power of community spirit. Hi, I'm Ayo Dada. I'm a captain and coach at Adidas Runners London, and I'm leading the Super 8 to their first Berlin Marathon next month.
Hello and welcome back to The Big Run, and welcome to Central London. Early this Thursday morning in St James's Park, to be specific, where I'm joined by Ayo Dada, Adidas Runners captain, entrepreneurial business developer, two-time TSP runner and community powerhouse. Ayo was part of the No ID episode we did here on the show a while back, and I wanted to catch up with him to learn more about his story and the Super 8 project. It's an initiative to take 8 Berlin Marathon first-timers from all levels of experience and background and get them primed for the iconic marathon. Ayo joined me in the park post Adidas Runners Tempo session for coffee and pastries.
I'd love to start this conversation with a story, actually, which I feel is indicative of you, sure. Or my impression of you.
Sure.
Let's roll back to the London 10K a couple of weeks ago. I was having a bad race. I was dying, I think, for want of a better expression.
Yeah.
And I saw you in the distance, and you pretty much carried me across across the finish line of what was an awful race by sort of talking in my ear, like whispering positive affirmations, and getting me through, and like capping off what was potentially a negative experience and turning it into something positive. And that felt to me sort of the perfect example of you as an individual, you within this kind of running scene, of someone who is incredibly generous and selfless. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that. And I'm curious to trace the route of where that comes from for you,
sure.
That selflessness.
Sure. Well, if we look on that race, actually, I wasn't meant to do it.
I know.
I only came to cheer and support my Kadir and who I'll mention later, and save you, and the rest of the running London community and AR community. So then I arrived at Green Park. Thankfully, it's always good to always wear running clothes. And someone said, do you want to run? I was like, oh no, I don't really fancy. I had the old Adidas shoes on. Then everyone was around me and said, you have to do it. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I looked at the bib, I'm in pen 8. I was like, oh, okay, it's gonna be a fast one, isn't it? Then I just had fun on the course because there was pressure was off. I hadn't prepped for it. I did like a 5-minute warm up. So I think that's what, for me, meant I could have a good race. There was less pressure, so I could really channel my energy to others and maybe take some energy from the crowd and give it back to the runners. I ran with a friend of mine as well, Mo Ali, who you may know. And it was just fun and games out there. It was just to have fun and enjoy that morning.
You're being very modest here, because I know we recorded together for when you were training with the No ID crew.
Yes.
As well, and I saw it then, and I've seen other examples across social media. There is that sort of generosity of spirit. I'm curious for you, like, what drives that in you as an individual, that want to give back to the running community? What has it given you, I suppose?
Yes.
That makes you want to return that?
I think if running has given me a lot. Not only running itself, but just the ability to move forward, even when you might have setbacks. The good times and the bad times, I've learned from running, you should just constantly drive forward. Even if it's small steps, you're still moving forward. Like that analogy of tiny step, big improvements. And I think I've taken that from running. Like, I'm a byproduct of London 2012 legacy. I started running a week after Super Saturday, if you may remember. Mo Farah, Jess Ennis, Greg Rutherford. And from then on, I was inspired by those legends doing it. And a week later, fate caught me. and I was reading my local paper in Northwest London, Brent and Kilburn Times. I read something called Park Run. I was like, what could this be? Grabbed my next door neighbor, and that set in motion for something that would change my life. Attending the Park Run the week after, now I know I didn't run a bad time. I ran 21 minutes and I'm like, wow, first 5K. That day, I was welcomed like a long lost son into the Gladstone running community, which a number of my club now, Queen's Park Harriers, train at. And the warmth and energy I was given, I will never forget. You always forget what people say about you or say to you, but the warmth and energy, you can never forget that. And I always try and replicate that energy back to others, because the way I was treated really changed my life and really showed me the true power of community spirit. Mm. And that's kind of driven everything I've done, and it's been the fuel for everything I've done leading up to now and things I will continue to do.
First impressions count.
100%. Your first impression is not your appearance, it's your energy. Mm. And the energy that many first-time community experiences I've had have gone on to inspire me, motivate me, and really be that grounding element for me to give back to others.
So what was the progression after that then? So 21-minute 5K, you had this experience, how did it?
Plateau.
Oh,
so
really?
21-minute 5K, went back the week after, 20, low 20-30s or so, if I can remember, then plateaued for about 3 years. 2012 to 2015, I was running in different communities, once a week, but still playing football, because football was the reason I started to run it. I wanted to improve how I performed. Of course, I knew I wasn't going to make it as a professional footballer, but I enjoyed the process of playing football, winning and losing together as part of a team element. Of course, running is very siloed, but communities give you that team element. Like, you're part of a team, you win and lose together. Mm-hmm. Then fast forward to 2016. So I felt something was missing. I hadn't figured out my home. I had a home in Gladstone Park, Park Run and the community there. But I felt something was missing. And again, fate found me. Right place, right time, I feel. And I was on Facebook looking, as you do back then, 2016, a safe space, some may say, who knows. Then I saw an advert pop up, Adidas Runners London. I said, what could this be? At this time, I'm a big, huge Adidas fan, brand fan, because of the football element. That's how I got into loving the brand, the David Beckham, the Zidanes of the world. Like, mm-hmm. Those were like figures that you respected and admired and through the brand lens. Then I said to my next door neighbor, let's go, always grab him, because yeah, but he didn't come to the first session, he came the second time. So our first Adidas Runners London session was over in Mudchute. It was about 10 of us attend, and our then captains and coaches. Again, the energy and warmth I felt from those captains and coaches that day, I will never, ever forget, because that triggered how I would end up being a captain today. Mm-hmm. Just because the energy I received, I give it back to our runners, our community members, my other captains and my coaches, and our wider global community. So that was July 2016. And then, from then, my life has changed again. So I've gone through like different iterations of life just by the experiences that people have given me.
Where can you trace that back to, that sort of being receptive to that kind of energy, for it to be so impactful for you? Because I think, like, I don't know, a lot of individuals might be a bit, if someone was incredibly warm and welcoming, they might find that a little bit overwhelming, a bit too much, like, oh, this person's coming on. Like, what's that in you that was, I don't know, can you trace that back? Like, do you have siblings, like for your parents?
Yeah, like, I think I get it from my parents, actually. Like, growing up, my parents are very welcoming people. Like, throughout throughout our time growing up, I saw that my parents were keen to support people, perhaps people that had, they didn't have much resources, and like we had someone stay with us for like 6 months because they didn't have a home to stay. So, and I saw that you, like you see your parents doing amazing stuff, and maybe you may not do it right there, but it leaves something in your mind like, wow, my parents are doing this. And that's kind of, it's impacted me in a way that I want to support people. I want to give back because I've seen my parents do it as well. And in terms of like being open to new experiences, I think it's, I'm not sure where it comes from actually. It could be just because at school it was more, I didn't really take part in sport at school. It was not until later ages that I just enjoyed sport and I enjoyed the team element of it. And I think it's the team element of sport that has kind of allowed me to be more receptive to those experiences. I think that I trace it back to team sports. Mm. Team sports has become the fuel for my running journey.
So talk to me about this team at Adidas Runners then. So you've got sort of fallen into that group, sort of 2016. Now we've just, so for full context for people listening, we're sitting in St James's Park where about an hour or so previous, you were running people through a tempo session, 5 by 5 minutes with, yes, 90 seconds active recovery. I remember it well. It's etched into my brain, the sort of puddle of sweat that I was by the end of it. What was the progression then from you sort of joining the ranks of Adidas Runners to being Captain Ayo, which is emblazoned on the back of your shirt that I saw this morning when you greeted me?
Yeah. Again, it's a journey of 1,000 miles. So having joined the community July 2016 as a community members, learning about the wider community and what running could do for you. And I think, I believe it's still true today, Adidas Runners is all about making us better people first rather than better runners. And I think it's true across all our communities and especially in London, because running came secondary. It's more about me coming to this community, meeting new friends that are going to do marathons with, race with, do crazy races with. So it was July 2016, came fresh into the community, and 2 months later, I was being offered a Berlin place, which would then go to change my life again, because this was my first marathon. Longest I'd ran up to that moment was 10 miles. So I was an amateur, a novice. I was not experienced at all, but I said yes. And I think sometimes you have to say yes and find out how to do it later. So I said yes to this marathon proposal that one of our captains had offered me. Said yes. We took a small Adidas team out to Berlin, about 15 of us from Adidas Runners London then, and we met our European wider global community. Again, Adidas Runners was about 2 years old, so still a small growth community worldwide. But I saw the global impact of AR. I was meeting people from Frankfurt, Zurich, Berlin. Like, wow, this is a global community, and I'm a part of it in little London here, part of something bigger than us. Completed the marathon.
How was your first Berlin?
I got injured a month before, Achilles tendinopathy. So I finished the marathon in 4:58. Humbling experience, but fun. Because after I crossed the finish line, I said, I'm coming back next year and I'm gonna do it better, I'm gonna train better, I'm gonna take it seriously. And that's when the bug caught me, the running bug caught me. I started to play less football and I started to increase my running. I joined Queen's Park Harriers, my running club now, started being more involved in Adidas Runners. I became a co-captain. So supporting our then captains and coaches throughout 2017. So half marathon times improved, but just the general energy around Adidas Runners started to to become more vibrant. And for me, like, my friendship group started to change, became more running heavy. It was just a wonderful time to be alive then. Young, living in London, experiencing running, being part of this community. So this was through 2017. Again, Berlin Marathon came second time. Again, like I said, I trained throughout the summer, training well with Queen's Park Harriers. Went back, managed to take 2 hours off, following a holistic training, focus, mindset, nutrition, recovery, and moving very well. So ran 301. So second marathon, it was a fantastic experience. The training element, the race was the icing on the cake, but training through the summer was one of the best training blocks I've ever had.
Fast. What made it so good? Why was it such a, like, I mean, that is an extraordinary jump, but what made that block so good, do you think?
It's community. We were training in London. We were doing similar sessions like we ran this morning, tempo sessions, cruise intervals. That was the first year we had an Adidas Runners London long run program. So we were starting off in central London, running right up onto Richmond Park, going to Greenwich. But we had a community of like-minded people all going on a similar journey to marathons, to long distance endeavors, but everyone was there to support each other. That is the main thing. It wasn't about one person, it's about supporting each other to get to the end goal. That's what made it beautiful. However fast or slow you're going, we're all going to Richmond or we're all going to Greenwich. It was beautiful summer of running. Then it came. November 2017, I will never ever forget, I received a message from our then captain, James. And he said, I would like for you to become a captain next year. I nearly fell off my chair at work. So at this time, so my role is I support entrepreneurs to start, fund and scale their business. So that's something I do outside of running. I nearly fell off my chair and I said, yes. I knew, and thankfully at this time I was doing my run leader course with, I knew I wanted to become more active in the running community. So prior to getting the Adidas captain role, I already did my run leader course because I knew this is
something
where I
you
want
enjoyed.
Yeah, 100%. Mm. I wanted to give back, I felt. Mm. I really wanted to give back. I think that's why I took the captain's role. Said yes, this was beginning of 2018. That would be my first year as captain, January 2018. I'll never forget my first ever session. I think I planned for like a week. I was sweating profusely. I was so nervous. I was so nervous because I was just a community member. Now I've been thrusted into this position to lead a session. Am I experienced? And I had so much doubts. Am I the right person? That
you have imposter syndrome.
Yeah. 100, as people do, but sometimes with the imposter syndrome, it's all in your head. Mm-hmm. Because you've got a community here that will support you to become better. Yeah, that first ever session, it was in Limehouse. I think I did a minute on, minute session, 1 minute on, 1 minute off, about 20 minutes. Took them through something similar today. Back then, it was one captain, two crew runners. So I had two crew runners supporting me. One of our coaches, Emma, she was a crew runner, and we had Jake as well. And to have their support as crew runners was so fantastic. That really made things, once you start going, it became
easier.
It's always
easier. That moment until you say your first words, isn't it?
The first word, I had notes.
It's like a race, it's like as soon as the gun.
That is it. I remember I had notes. Even for my session for the whole of 2018, I had notes. Mm-hmm. I would really research the why are we doing this? Like back then we used to have like themes, like would it be focus, would it be speed, would it be technique? So I really got into like the running micro granular level. Like I really wanted to understand running because I think also I wanted to become a better runner, but I also wanted to become a better leader, captain and coach. I really wanted people to become better people, and also how running can impact their lives positively. So yeah, that takes us to 2018, the year of my first captaincy. Again, it was first year as captain, but it was also the year I would form part of a team, a holistic endeavour that will go and see me run my first TSP race. So you might be seeing a little pattern here. Novembers are really the month where people ask me to do stuff, and I always say yes. So November 2018, I got a message on Facebook from our then Adidas Europe community manager. He's like, hey, Ayo, we want you to take part in the Speed Project race. Are you in? I didn't even have a... I was sitting at my desk again, nearly fell off. I didn't even have a chance to research what this race was. I heard about it, murmurings, as you do with these crazy things, but I had no chance. I just said yes. That would take me on a journey I would never forget, because that has been the race that's truly impacted me. So I said yes to this race. The race would be March 2019. I would form a 6-person team that would aim to win the Speed Project in 2019, running from LA to Las Vegas in a record time, doing the OG route, 550K. So I was part of this team. We would represent our wider Adidas Runners global community and try and go for the win in this special race that I had no idea about. So we met up for the first time in February 2019 in Berlin. Everything keeps on happening in Berlin. So we've never met these people before, seen each other on social media, like, hey, but we clicked. We clicked because we had that community value. We did a simulation race of 70K. We'd never run together and we were fast. Like, I'd never run a 3-minute 20K. I don't think I could I could at that time. I think my heart would have burst. But I was hitting it because I felt the group energy allowed me to do so. Like, I felt inspired by these super athletes to push, to go to the next gear where I didn't do it in London. So that was the first time meeting. Then we would go on to meet again in LA.
At the start?
At the start, in LA, in our house, and go on to finish second in that race, clocking a new OG time. I think the time still stands today, 4 hours, 25 minutes, don't quote me. But yes, we finished second to a Nike-sponsored team who finished first. But it was a special race for everyone that took part. Like, we took the full route through Death Valley, 40 degrees. Like, of course, now teams are taking alternative routes, but we stuck to the map and ran that full 550K route. That race really impacted me, both positively and negatively. As I came out of that race, I couldn't run for 4 months because I had a stress fracture. I gave everything in that race. So I didn't run from May until September or so.
What's Ayo like when he can't run?
I couldn't do any sports. I couldn't even really cycle properly. It was really a tough time for me.
Because if you're drawing this energy from the community, like, and you, I mean, you couldn't connect to it in that physical way.
Yeah. Thankfully, I could still coach.
Right.
Yeah, I could still demonstrate drills. I could still coach on the sidelines. But I just couldn't run myself. And I think that was really important for me to still be allowed to be coach, to coach our runners. Because I think if I didn't, it would have been really tough. So I think I channeled all my energy into the community there. And I think that would inspire me to go into 2020, still a captain, but going to kind of become a bit more, taking a bit more of a leadership role in our captain's cohort. There, often because having some downtime allows you to really focus, refocus. That's what really inspired me to take my England Athletics coaching qualification. So I started the process of doing that in 2020. Yeah, started in 2019, but became a qualified coach in 2020. Yeah.
So a fully fledged coach. I'm curious as well. You touched on it there, like your life outside. The other side of what you do for a living is helping young entrepreneurs build their business. Like, How did you arrive on that? Like, how? What was your journey to that? Because I can kind of see the crossover here between that and what you do within your running work. Like, yeah, where did you find yourself? How did you find yourself in that position?
Looking at my university, going from doing computing to graduating, I've kind of fell into a role that will see me support entrepreneurs to internationalize. So I was working for the government, taking entrepreneurs from the UK, taking them to overseas markets to grow their business. So I went to sunny places like Angola, Turkey, taking fledgling businesses or growing businesses and helping them take the business to the next level.
What did that involve in terms of helping them? Were you like, was it business strategy? Were you coaching them as individuals?
So it's kind of taking a bit of what I do at Adidas Runners. It's organizing programs of growth. So essentially they'll go into these markets and the program is organized for them. So meeting other counterpart businesses, meeting government officials, everything was organized for them to take their business to the next level. And those roots that I planted there supported me in getting a role at Virgin Startup. So Virgin Startup, part of the Virgin family, supporting entrepreneurs to start funding scale. So I was a project manager there. And that role really saw me support entrepreneurs in the UK to take their business to the next level. And that was a special time for me because in that 5-year period, I became a captain at the same time. So like my vocation and my avocation really met, really united. During the day, supporting entrepreneurs. In the evening, supporting runners. Everything was just aligned and synced for that period. So those roots will support me up until now to still supporting entrepreneurs to go to the next level. But I think...
What's the split in terms of like your running coaching and your entrepreneurial work? Is it 50-50 or...?
My entrepreneur is a full-time job, but coaching... I see it as I'm fully immersed into it. I'm fully immersed. Even during the daytime, I think about how things could benefit the communities, how connections I've formed could support community or support aspects of our community. Like through, an example is Morton. I was approached to become a community ambassador for them. And maybe having my entrepreneurial head on when I created the Super 8 program, which we'll get into. I'm like, we have a nutrition partner. Let's see if I can tap into that resource. So that kind of entrepreneurial mind and sporting mind have met and have been really beneficial for each other because entrepreneurship is about problem solving. And running sport, you're going to have to problem solve. When you're in mile 20 and it's not clicking of a marathon, what do you do? Do you push on and they'll wrap a silver blanket at the end of you and you didn't finish the race? Or do you push back, take each mile or each kilometer as it comes? So you're gonna have to problem solve this. And I think that entrepreneurial mindset has given me the tools to tackle running in a different way. As I was saying to you, I've changed my philosophy of running, of training. Just by virtue of my experiences and also that kind of entrepreneurship mind of tackling life and tackling endeavours.
After a brief pause to chow down on some pastry goodness, we got chatting about our next race, the Big Half, and some of the legends who were running.
Mo Farah will be doing it again.
This is the last time.
Last time. True inspiration. I think he was a relatable figure for my running journey. Because you say you can't see it if you be it. You can't be it if you don't see it. Of course, Mo is a black man doing long distance running from London. We didn't have those figures growing up. He had people like Linford, Dwayne Chambers, but they were sprinters. So if you wanted to get into sprinting, you had people doing it. But Mo, when Mo came into the scene and when I saw him at that London 2012, I could see myself in him, a young migrant coming from another country and running. So I was born in Nigeria. I came here when I was 4. Yeah, so I'm 34 now, so I'm, yeah, been here for 30 years. But yeah,
you don't look a day over 21.
Thank you, thank you. I'm trying. It's the moisturising process my girlfriend has me on.
So glad we're still recording.
Are you still recording?
Always, my friend. Always.
So Mo was the person that really got me into running. And then since then, I've followed his journey, his ups and his downs, but still, I just see him as like, yeah, I still haven't met him, but I just see him as like the catalyst for my running.
It's so important, that thing you talk about for so many people, about seeing someone that they can connect with, seeing someone that looks like them. That's such an impactful thing, I think, for someone with a young age. Mm. I think it's so, so important. Mm. For people to feel like they can, feel like they have permission, that they can belong. And I think doing that with younger groups as well is really important, because you were doing something recently, I think like yesterday or something, was that right?
Yeah.
Doing with a group of young, was it Greenhouse?
Greenhouse Sports.
So tell me about that.
Yeah, so Greenhouse Sports is a London-based charity supporting young lives through the power of sports. So the pandemic was tough, we all know this. But during the pandemic, this would go on to change my life again. So many different moments that changed my life, and so many parts that I say yes to, and I'm scared at the time, but I still say yes and find out how to do it. So a request came in from our then Diversity and Advisory Council that was set up on just after the killings of George Floyd and the social uprising, the racial uprising in the UK and in Europe. The Adidas really wanted to improve access to sports and improve representation in our sports, amateur and a professional level. So our Diversity Advisory Council requested 15 captains from across the world to design and develop a project that would do these things, improve representation in sports and also improve access to sports. So I came up with a project called the Network Effect. And the Network Effect, the idea of it is we would support young lives through the power of movement. Partnering with Greenhouse Sports, a London-based charity, who are actively in over 50 schools and in inner city London schools, doing amazing work in sports-specific stuff like basketball, table tennis, football. So they're giving the kids the sports-specific skills. And the idea of the project is I would, and my coaches, we would go in and give them movement skills, because we know movement is required in all sports you play. Whether you're playing table tennis or tennis, you need to move efficiently and with purpose. If you're not, that undermines how you perform. So I pitched this project, presented it. At the time, I said to my friend, this is gonna be hard. This is gonna take a lot of time. I actually don't really want it, but I'm going to give all my energy into designing it, because I think it could be really impactful. So Adidas Runners, we had a little partnership with Greenhouse Sports, because we brought James Harden to London and he met some of our basketball, Greenhouse Sports basketball players. So that was why I decided to use them as like a amazing charity. And also going back to my experiences as a child, like playing sports in London, in the city, and also at school, in the playground. So that's one reason why I really wanted to support young people as well. Because I know growing up in London, you don't really have much access to structured sports unless it's in a school. So when I first heard about Greenhouse Sports in 2018, 2019, I planted that seed in my head. I knew something would happen, but just didn't know. So my project got chosen. The work began. November 2020, the Network Effect was born. This was still during the pandemic. I would go to a school in East London called St. Paul's Way Trust, inner city London school. And most of Greenhouse Sports kids, 85% of them are from our ethnic minority represented, so black and brown kids, so Southeast Asia, Latin America, Africa, well, kids that perhaps don't have access to sports or socioeconomically, they would not just by virtue of these. So that was the first school, and that would go on for us to grow to 9 schools at the moment. So the first year, myself and our captain James would have 6 schools, and we would go in once a month and coach these kids on plyometrics, agility, speed, cardio, and leave them with a legacy that sports not only has the power to change their health, but change their sports that they play. Because this would, by improve your plyometrics, as a basketball player, you're gonna see the changes and the improvements over time there. So we would do that for the first year. That project was well received at a global and local level by the kids, by our community, by our coaches. It was just a nice project to not only work on, but see the impact in young people's lives. Because we know that grassroots changes takes years to filter through. The changes that we made in 2020, we're starting to see it now, that the young people are really excelling in sports, really excelling at school. So coupled with us as Adidas Runners coming into the schools and Greenhouse Sports, we're seeing a collaborative element within the young lives, in the results of these young lives there. So that will take us on to 2021. I ran London Marathon, my first London Marathon. But I said I wanted to run for charity. I had to do Greenhouse Sports, I had to. So I ran for Greenhouse Sports, my first London Marathon, my first time breaking sub-3. And
wow.
Yes, and that would go on to start my marathon philosophy of negative splitting. So I ran 2:58:59 in my hometown marathon. It was amazing, and I raised a considerable amount for Greenhouse Sports, which was the real reason why I was running there. Then fast forward to just our Greenhouse Sports impact. I think last year we supported over 600 young people. So we've gone in into the schools, equipping them with the tools and knowledge to improve their sports-specific stuff. And as the network effect, the grounding element of it when I designed it is that these young people are being given tools and education that will improve their own sports, but they will pass this on to friends, to relatives. This is how you do a warm-up. This is how you improve your cardio. And I saw a prime example of that in at St. Paul's School, where one of the young people I had coached in November 2020 led the warm-up. So the education is being passed through, and that's what we really wanted with the network effect, is to a ripple effect in changing lives. Not one life can be changed, but multiple lives. And that project is still the only global purpose Adidas Runners project that still exists today. So credit to my coaches that have been doing it, and credit to Greenhouse Sports just for being the best partner any organization could ask for.
For me, for running, longevity I feel is the ultimate goal. Like, PBs are great, yes, but I want to keep doing it for as long as I possibly can, yes, as long as my body can allow me to. But for you, just talking, you know, you describing some of the work you're doing with Greenhouse, is longevity within the communities that you work within a big goal for you? Is it something you take the most kind of pride in seeing a group sustain itself, seeing the members take ownership of that community and being sort of taking on the role that you've kind of coached them into?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're in the people game. We are in the people game, and we need to give people the tools and resources to grow themselves and discover things themselves. Like, a prime example is our captain, Georgina, who you may have met this morning. She, like myself, started as a community member, and she's one of the best captains in the world. Like, because she's coming as a community member, myself and other coaches and captains have given her those tools to become a leader in her own right. And the same was for me when I started. Like, I was inspired and educated by the then captains and coaches, and you kind of pass that knowledge on, because I think it's all about, you want people to become independent when it comes to that. You don't want them to become dependent on you. You want to give them that independence, because they're people in themselves, right? And I think that's a big part of my coaching philosophy, is giving people the tools to learn about their own bodies, their own minds, how it operates. But we will always be here to support. We are the foundational support for these people. For these people, but we want to give them the tools to become better people, better sports people. Because if you look at it, like 95% of us, like, that are well trained, we could write our own programs, we could do this, but there's that 5% where we get in our own way a bit, and that's where a coach or a leader or a mentor comes in, where they prevent us from doing something stupid. So of course, I myself as a coach, captain, I'm still learning. And of course, I look up to other captains and coaches from across the world, and I learn from them. Because there's still that 5% will always exist, where that I need to learn, and I need those tools to better serve my community, better serve myself.
So let's talk about the people that you're serving at the moment. The Super 8.
The Super 8, indeed.
The 8 individuals who will be going to Berlin, that very special city for you, that has holds a lot of memories.
Indeed it does.
From your first to your 301, yes. You know. What was your first bit of advice to them when they were starting on their journey with you? How did you sort of introduce this journey they were going to be going on? Because am I right in thinking for all of them, it's their very first time in Berlin?
No. First Berlin Marathon experience.
First Berlin Marathon experience.
Yes. Some of them have done marathons before. Yeah.
Okay. So what was your kind of introduction to your process? Like, how did you sort of...
Berlin's a magical city. You have to let the magic... You have to warm to the magic. It's a beautiful... like, how I describe it is, there's the marathon, then there's our AR community. These two things fuse in Berlin to create a special experience that you can't buy. No lottery ticket that you can ever buy or win will give you this experience. It takes you literally out of everything you've ever experienced. So I've experienced that. So I ran Berlin last year. That was my third Berlin Marathon. Berlin PB, Marathon PB 255. And again, every single time it's the same process. You do the shakeout run with the community, you visit the run base, you visit the race base, you see people that you've seen on Instagram, you see people from Hong Kong, people from Saigon, people from Indonesia, Malaysia, New York, LA. And you're from X. Then you bond together. And that weekend is a short space of time, but you create bonds for life. Because a marathon is a journey. We definitely know this. And you find it on some people, when we meet, we all meet at the Adidas race base, which is adjacent to the start line. What pace are you going for? What time are you going for? People run, start, you didn't know when you flew into Brandenburg Airport that you'll end up finishing the race with someone from Indonesia. Where does that even happen? That doesn't happen in communities. But the AR community is special like that, because it's a local community where you're coming from, but then you see the global element of it when you visit these our big activations or our big experiences there. So it's that magic. The marathon magic and our community magic fused together. Like, a lot of our Super 8, after this experience, I believe it will change them. It will give them a renewed element of community, and how community will change them, and how being part of a community and giving back to a community will inspire others. Because Berlin's a fast, flat marathon. People may come to our Super 8 next year. How's Berlin? What's the course like? So they are, we've given them the tools to become a bit more experienced in the running. But then also there's the holistic element. So we've done a strength and conditioning class, so they're a bit more educated in these are the specific muscle groups that are required to train well and to become efficient. We've given them more nutrition advice. How do you fuel for a marathon efficiently? What it's all about trial and error. Fueling is individual to all of us, so they're a bit more educated on that. Then there's the running, which we do on Thursdays or Mondays on our, across our Adidas session. How to warm up properly, how to program some sessions, how to cool down and properly there. Then there's the mindset, which kind of brings everything together, the marathon mindset. What does that consist of? How do you tackle a marathon? Do I go out too fast or do I pace it well? What does that look like? And I think in our math, in our Super A group, there are some people that are experienced and there are people that aren't experienced. And bringing those people together, you can already see it. Some experienced members are advising the non-marathon experienced people, this is how possibly you should do it there. And I think my role is just a facilitator. I've created this program. I want to bring in these diverse thoughts, diverse backgrounds, because all of them are all eight people are different. Something like this has never been done. We've had specific speed squads where all eight people are the same, fast, all going for sub 3 hours. Where's the fun in that? Or we've had like all male groups. What's the fun in that? But eight diverse thoughts and backgrounds, ages, abilities, representing what I feel London looks like. Is a multicultural, young, vibrant, energetic city. And all of them represent all four corners of our city, there.
What a compelling offer, and what an amazing experience they're having with you as a coach. I mean, and what they're being gifted as well, the knowledge base. And I love that that sort of cross-pollination that you're talking about. And I imagine for runners who are maybe at the sharper end, there's still so much perspective and insight to be drawn from the individuals who are maybe coming at it from a different kind of pace goal. And I think that knowledge sharing is always really, really lovely to see. You saw it this morning, yes. I think. You know, I don't think it has to be exclusive to like pace groups and yes. stuff like that. Yes. The mindset thing I think is really interesting, because I feel like that's the thing you almost kind of can't prepare for, but you want to try as much as you can to prepare for. From your experience of Berlin and from your experience of marathons from TSB, from those runs where you're going kind of north of 20, when you're going into those uncomfortable places, are there things that you subscribe to, or are there things that you kind of come back to frequently in order to equip yourself with tools to get through those difficult moments?
I think those difficult moments, how you prepare for them is in training. Is going to those uncomfortable places, those places where the mind is screaming, stop. The body is saying stop. Having those, running is a conversation between you and yourself. As much as we say yes, it's a team effort at times, like the Super A is a team effort, but on the marathon day is going to be them on the start line. Maybe they'll have someone with them, but they're going to be in their own head. And I'm trying to get them to go into those uncomfortable, we're now in the business end, 6.5 weeks away. Where they'll start to visit the marathon pace places. What does that feel like? Can I hold this distance? Oh, okay, I can't hold this distance. Maybe I should think about starting slower, then warming up to the distance. Let me test this in training. Oh, okay, maybe I need to take fuel every 35 minutes or every 30 minutes. This is the part where they are getting ready for those uncomfortable places. This is where you start to tune the mindset, the performance mindset, the tough conversations that your mind is going to start spewing out. This is not for me. We don't need to do a marathon. Let's just go back to the hotel. No, you're going to have the conversations with yourself on the day, but it starts now. It always starts now. As Kipchoge said, a marathon is not on the day, it's 4 to 6 months before. It's the preparation that goes into it that will equip you with the tools ready to tackle it on the day.
From being inspired in 2012 to starting, you know, being part of AR in 2016 to your bailing, your TSP, returning with no ID, with the Super 8. I mean, is there one bit of advice that you frequently come back to? And if I was to ask you that question like 5 years from now, you'd tell me the same bit of advice for when it comes to your approach to running, your approach to anything, like in terms of your outlook, like is there a cornerstone for AO?
I think I said it early on, I think it's tiny, tiny steps, massive improvements. Like 2016, I ran 4:58. 2022, I ran 2:55. It's the tiny steps I was doing throughout that process, throughout those years that led to the 2:55. 2:55 didn't come magically. It was the experiences, good and bad, that I experienced in that time that led up to it. And I think it's the failures that support you rather than the achievements. I think that first 4:58, it was a huge catalyst on how you need to train holistically for a marathon. You can't just go and run 10 miles and hope for the best. No, you have to think about the mindset, the nutrition, the recovery, that's where the magic happens. So you are thinking all about that to get you ready for race day there. So yeah, for me it's tiny steps, compound. I know compound can be seen as a bad thing, but you can compound positively because progress is non-linear, as we all know. So it's not going to be a straight line, it's going to be ebbs and flows. So yeah, for me it's tiny steps, massive improvements over time.
If people listening to this now are thinking, I want to take my first tiny step and they want to experience it with you, where can they find a slice of AO to experience it?
Well, sure, you can find me at Adidas Runners London. Our sessions, we run 4 times a week. You can typically find me on our Thursday morning session. We run Central London, typically tempo efforts, hills efforts, where we can find hills in Central London. Even when I'm not coaching, I'll come down to our sessions because, like I said, the community has given me so much and I'll still take part in our sessions, help pace, come down for a chat with our runners, find out how people are doing. That is where you can find me. Majority of the time you can find me online as well. I'm typically talking about our community or talking about Greenhouse Sports or our Super 8 or just general Adidas runners, local and global community.
And you may even find you at a random race just pulling someone along who's having the worst race of their life and making it into a lovely experience.
You can find me at all London races, nearly all. Yes, you can find me. Next race I'll be is at Big Half, so looking forward to seeing everyone from the wider running community. Is always a special moment when we all get together for something that is like bigger than ourselves, just moving forward as a group to a finish line.
That feels like a lovely note to end our conversation on. AO, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me in lovely St. James's Park.
A big thank you to AO and the AR community for the conversation and the session. And if you are in Central London, then make sure you get involved. It's a great service they offer and you can follow the journey of the Berlin Super 8 by giving AO a follow on Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. If you are enjoying the show, please do leave us a review and I'll see you next time for The Big Run.